Father God, we commit this time to hearing your word, looking at your word. Lord, I ask you that you'll give me expedience, that I'll be able to share what you put in my heart, the reality of it. Lord, that the reality will come into us and there'll be seeds planted. And not only seeds, Father, but it'll fall in good soil and it'll produce fruit. I pray you'll anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you want spoken today. And then, Lord God, that we can activate this truth that I will be projecting. I pray that Spirit will be our bear witness with Spirit, deep to deep. And that, Lord God, not only will we be hearers, but doers, and also seers of your words. In Jesus' name I pray and ask and depend upon. We've been talking about hearing the voice of God. Look with me in the book of John, chapter 10. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. Keep your Bibles in your laps and limber. This will be the last message that we do on the voice of God, or at least this series. This is the fourth one. This will be the fourth one that I will be relating to you. It's what I'm trying to relay to you is the way God speaks to me. And I biblically back it up. Today what I want to talk about is the enlightenment voice of God. The enlightenment voice of God. We've talked about three prior to this one. We've talked about the authoritative voice of God. You can probably name it the do anything he wants to do voice of God. He comes into your life, he destroys, tears down, twists up, tears down the cedars of Lebanon, splits them into pieces, does what he wants to do so that he can get you on track, so he can birth something new in your life. Second one was the still small voice of God, where we get in a cave, we get into experiences with people. We don't want to face people, so we go hide in our caves. We get down, we get distraught, we get depressed. God comes and says, what are you doing here? You need to get yourself straightened out, because if you don't, I'm going to take you out. Third voice of God we talked about last time was the witnessing voice of God coming from Romans chapter 8, where he says, his spirit bears witness with our spirits. He says, these are the sons of God, they that are led by the Spirit of God. It's the voice of God we listen to as we're led through life. It's the red light, green light, doors open, doors closed light. It's the beware of dogs sometime light. It's what I listen for when I counsel people, when I minister to people. It's what I try to hear. What I'm talking about today is going to be an enlightenment voice of God. Well, this will be when God shows me things. It's the one I look for in prayer. It's the one I look for when I prophesy. But I want to show us and just cover these scriptures real rapidly. In John chapter 10, beginning at verse 16, the Lord Jesus says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. We're all the time talking about becoming one. What is becoming one dependent upon? Pardon? Hearing. We become one after we all begin to really hear his voice. He says, I want you to hear my voice. And then down in verse 26, you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. This whole context is talking about the Lord desiring a relationship with you and me. He says, I want to know you, and I want you to know me as I know Father and Father knows me. We've talked about all this. It's on the first tape. He says, that's how the relationship that I want to have with you. He says, I want to have a relationship with you. And folks, we can candy coat it. I can make it as sweet as I possibly can. But the primary reason that we will not hear the voice of God into our lives is because we won't take time and listen to the voice of God. We won't take time and spend with God. We spend time doing everything else. Bottom line, he's talking. We're not listening. Bottom line is we do what we want to do. We do what we want to do. Doesn't matter who it hurts. Doesn't matter what it does. We do and we say what we want to do, what we want to say. And what we've got to learn to do is we'll never have a relationship with him. We'll never know him like he knows Father, like Father knows him, until we learn to hear the voice of God. Flip back to John chapter 8, verse 44. Tell you what, let's start at 43. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. We don't understand because we won't listen. Our lives are a mess. We go through all kind of crazy things. We don't understand why. Because we won't listen to what he's saying. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and we may not murder. with a knife. We may not run around sticking knives, literal knives in people. We may not run around with literal guns and shooting people. But folks, we do a lot of damage with our talking. We do a lot of damage to one another. Am I right? In the body of Christ, we are vicious. One of the things that always bothers me, I was sharing this Wednesday night with my young adults who were sitting there. I said, one thing in the body of Christ that always gets to me is when somebody says, well, I'm just going to say it like it is. Why? Why are you going to hurt somebody? Why do you want to do that? The Bible says if you're going to be, what's the word it says in 1 Corinthians about, it says, if you're going to be defrauded, just be defrauded. What you just showed me, when you say, well, you've got to say your piece, is you can't turn the cheek. The Bible says turn the cheek. The Bible says love one another. He says, you're of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. He is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God, what? Hears the words, plural, of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. The Lord says here that when we hear God, when we are truly of Him, we hear Him. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. I have showed you over and over and over these past 4 weeks that God admonishes us to hear Him, to listen to His voice, to have communication with Him, to allow Him in, to spend time with Him. Over and over and over and over again, the Bible asks us, pleads with us, to take time out of our busy schedule and spend it with Him. Does the Bible ever ask us or tell us to seek the ways and the words of God from fleas? Does it? Does the fleas work? Sometimes it'll work fine. But are we asked to seek fleeces? Are we asked to seek the ways and the words of God by allowing our Bibles to open up and by the finger method? But yet, that's how we live our lives. By chance. Well, the book of Concordance. Does the Bible ever tell us to seek angels? Does it? But can angels come and speak? Does the Bible ever tell us to seek prophecies? But does prophecy work? Does the Bible ever tell us to seek an audible voice of God? But can God speak audibly? All of these things in and of themselves have truth in them. But what the Bible admonishes us to do is open the door of our heart, open the door of our life, and allow Him to come in and sit down and spend some time with us. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone does what? Hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll dine or I'll sup with him. I'll spend time with him and him with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. We'll sit together, folks. We'll talk together. We'll dine together. We'll spend time together. We'll communicate. You'll know me. I'll know you. We'll overcome as I overcame and sat down with my Father. This is what I want to do for you. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what? Not what the lost people are saying, but what? What the Spirit is saying to who? To churches. This is not a scripture for the lost. And so many times it's used for salvation messages. It's not a salvation message. What God is saying here, folks, is I'm talking to the churches. And what I want to do is I want to come in. I want to come into the churches corporately, but if any man individually will open up and let me in, I want to sit down with you. Please let me come in, he admonishes. He admonishes us to seek Him. And he says, if we'll do that, we'll live an overcoming life. Be victorious. But we don't do it because we don't want to do it. Because if I really do that, then I am really admitting that He is Lord. He's not just Savior anymore. He's not just going to take me to heaven in my mansion. All of a sudden, He becomes Lord of my life. All of a sudden, it becomes important to guard what I hear and guard what I say. All of a sudden, He becomes Lord. When we confess Him, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, ye shall be saved. It's when our salvation takes place, as we begin to see Him as Lord. We sit with Him, we sup with Him, we dine with Him. He knows us, we know Him, we overcome. It's a communion with Him. Today I want to talk about the enlightenment voice of God. And again, we're going to be turning and looking, and I want you to turn to the book of St. John, chapter 5. I'm going to read to you a scripture from the book of Psalms, 119, verse 130. If you're taking notes, then write it down. You can look it up later, but I want to read it to you. Psalms 119 and verse 30 says this, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Let me say it again. Read it again. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." It was interesting to me that he doesn't say, "The entrance of my words giveth hearing." The entrance of my words give light. And then from that light, understanding can come to somebody as simple as me. By His words, I can get light and I can see something that will help me to get understanding. Understanding in my life. What I'm going to be projecting and hopefully communicating to us today is that when God sometimes speaks to us, He'll speak to us in words that become pictures. He'll speak to us and all of a sudden a light will come on and we'll see something. We sometimes call this premonitions. We sometimes see things that are going to happen. The Bible calls the prophets in the Old Testament seers. Why is that? Because as God spoke to them, a light come on and they could see something. And I want to show you that it's just as real for you and I today. When I prophesy over people, what I look for, what I wait for, what I want to hear God do is enlighten my view. I want to see something. You hear me? When I prophesy over people, the Lord shows me, or the Lord has shown me, or I see. I didn't know it until today. I was going home. I went home this morning after I'd come up and prayed and prepared. And I went home and I was talking to Judy. And I was sharing a little bit about this with her. And she says, "Well, you know that you have a prophecy from Christian International that said you were a seer." And I said, "No, I didn't know that." God's light, as it comes into our being, enlightens us and it causes us to see something. Now, in John chapter 5 and verse 19, and I'll just read this from the King James. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees, seeth the Father do." What I'm going to be saying today is that we've got half of it. We are understanding the Word of God and it's important in our life. What I'm going to be showing us today is there's a hookup that's going to take place today in our hearts, I pray. That not only will we learn to listen to the Word of God, let the Logos become Rhema, but also we will see. I'm going to show you in just a minute in Matthew 13 that Jesus said they have ears to hear but cannot hear, and they have eyes to see but cannot see. There is a double witness here that I'm wanting to project to us today, and let us grasp and understand, I pray, and understand that there's something new that God's wanting us to do in our prayer life and our ministry. He says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son, and what? Shows Him all things that Himself doeth, that He may show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." And the reason that these things are shown to Jesus is so that they become a witness and that people can marvel. He says, if you don't believe I'm who I say I am, at least believe the works that you see me do. There is a linking here that I'm wanting to communicate to us today, and I really believe it'll explode our prayer life. I believe it'll explode what we do here. I believe it's going to explode the ministering that's here if I can communicate it. I want to share just some thoughts here. I want to share how this has worked in my life, and then I want to show you in the Scriptures how it worked. And I have several instances here that this has happened. A few weeks back, Carol Whitener's, I guess she's in the nursery, Carol Whitener's daddy became very ill. She called me and she wanted me to come pray for him. So I went to the hospital and I went to up there and I met them, and they had called the family. The family was there. So Carol, her mother and I went in to where they had him at, was in an intensive care unit. They had him on respirator. And we went in and we got around his bed, and the man's pancreas had stopped working. Acids were now filling his body, and he was dying. And I laid hands on the man's belly, and I commanded his pancreas to begin working. I spoke to his lungs, but what I saw was not good. What I saw was this man was going to die. Because I've learned to try to look now and see what's happening here. And I saw it wasn't good, and I came home, and I was telling Judy, and Judy says, "Well, how is he? What's going on?" And I says, "I didn't like what I saw." I said, "It's bad." Well, it got worse. Over the night, he got worse, and they called the family up. Well, the next day, Gary Whitener's, Carol's husband, stepfather, had passed away. And I was going to spend some time with Gary, so I went to the funeral with Gary. And I was going to follow them up there in my car, and then I was going to come back because Gary would stay at the funeral longer than me. So I followed him up there, and behind them in the car, I began to pray for Carol's daddy. We were going up the road that Burning Bush Church is on. What is that road? Burning Bush Road, isn't it? That's what it is. So that's why I call it Burning Bush Church. But anyway, it was going up that road, and we were going around those curves, and I can remember praying and just asking the Lord, you know, "Lord, I beg you, give this man an opportunity. He was not saved. He was, if he died, it was a great possibility. You're not judging, but it probably would have went to hell." And so, you know, I was praying. I was interceding here. And I was asking God, I said, "God, you know, please give the man another chance, please." And this went on from here all the way up to East Ridge just about. And before we got there, the Lord showed me the man sitting up in his bed, the respirator off, oxygen going into his nose, but him sitting up. Then I saw him going into a room, and then I saw him going home. That's exactly what happened. In the meantime, he had gotten worse. They'd called the family and told the family he was going to die. I told Carol I thought he was going to be all right. He's home today. He's alive. A year ago today, Denise Dudley was on respirator. Right before Christmas, she had an automobile wreck, went to sleep, whatever, don't really know, went off the road, ran up on the bank, somehow she hit the steering wheel, burst her liver. They called the house. I had just walked in the door. Judy said, "They called, Denise has had a wreck. She's in Dalton Hospital." She said, "Don't know anything else." That's all they said. Soon as she said it, I told her, I said, "Something's bad wrong." I put down everything, took off to Dalton. When I got there, Willis was there, Linda was there, Sandy came shortly with the kids, but that was it. The immediate thing was that I had Denise up there, they had to go in and find out what some problems were, but the immediate thing was that everything's cool, everything's fine. So we sat around, they had us in two little cubicle rooms with a little door that went between the two rooms. We were sitting in there and we were sitting around talking, and finally the nurse comes down. She says, "It's bad. They've given her X units of blood. You need to call the family." Willis falls apart. I mean, most of us would. That's your daughter. Linda's falling apart. I'm saying, I got to pray. So I go in this little room here beside us. I kneel down at the chair. And what God showed me was this. His hand on Denise's eyes, and they were closing. He was closing her eyes like you would a dead person. I said, "Oh, God, no." And I began to call out to God. And I said, "Lord, please don't. Dig around the tree one more time. Lord God, please. The babies. Lord God, please." And I did. I prayed. I sat there and I prayed 5, 10, 15, 20. I don't know how long it was. But then I saw this. His eyes opened the eyes back up. His hand opened the eyes back up. I didn't say anything. That's all I had to hang on to. It was a whole lot better than what I first thought I had to hang on to. So Judy comes over there in a little while and we're praying. So we didn't know this until later. They take Denise into the ICU. And Willis, what did they say they took her in there to do? To die. We're bringing you somebody down here to die. She went through a couple of more surgeries. I held on to what God had showed me. I held on to it. I believed it was God. And I held on to it. And I prayed. We spent the night and we prayed and we sought the Lord. And everybody was praying. It wasn't just my prayers, but we were in agreement. At least we were holding on to what I felt like God had showed me. And so after about two or three more surgeries, finally the doctors started giving us some hope. And about two or three, maybe 4 days later, I don't know how long it was, finally they gave us some hope and they said, maybe she's going to make it. We don't know. It's a miracle. It's that night. When they finally gave us some hope, she went into her last surgery that they thought that she was going to have. I think she did have to have one more after that one. But anyway, she went into it. She came out. She did fine. Everything was fine. She's back in her room. All these things. I said, let's go up to the chapel. I want to share something with you. So we went up to the chapel. We held hands and I shared with them what I felt like God had told me. Why didn't you tell them to start with? I was afraid to tell them. Doctor says she's going to die. Man of faith and power. You don't want to say give a bad word here. So anyway, finally went up there and we held hands and you prayed and I shared with them what I felt like God had told me. Denise was dancing last week and is sitting right there today. It was because I prayed. No, that's not what I'm trying to communicate to you. I'm trying to communicate to you. God wants to show us something. Another one. We run out of room. We had youth back there and youth in here and care groups and no place to put nothing and everything is going crazy. You know, so have the elders meeting. I pray, you know, we need youth, we need a school building, what are we going to do, Lord? Show us what to do, show them what to do. So I believe I see this building down here finished. I believe I saw that shed, a building, a wooden building. That's what I thought I saw. So we have the elders meeting. I say, hey guys, you know, I believe that we ought to finish. No, we don't do that. Let's change the nurseries around. Let's put that nursery up here and that nursery back there. Maybe we build a wall. We'll do some things like that. We tried it. It didn't work. So I drew it. I drew what I saw. I said, here's what I want to build. There it is. Praying a couple of weeks ago on Fridays, Monty and Steve and Lance and I, we pray. We kneel right here. We have communion. Then we walk and we pray. Lance had shared with us that he felt like he was in a bondage. And that there had been some well-meaning prayers prayed over him that had him bound up in his life and he couldn't get free to go on with his life. So we prayed and we laid hands on him. And we prayed. He knelt right here. We got all around him. We laid hands on him and prayed. Then we got up and we started walking and praying. I made one lap and the Lord reminded me, you haven't waited to let me show you something. I made one lap. I came back up here and I stood right here. And I stood and I prayed 5, 10, 15 minutes. I don't know. They were walking and praying. Finally, the Lord showed me. It's going to happen. Out of the heavenlies was like this big chain. It was wrapped around him. And he could have about this much freedom. Just like if you had a chain hanging down and you had about like, you could do like this. But that's as far as you could go. And so I prayed and I kept waiting for the Lord to show me what was going to happen. I saw this angel come with this huge sword. I saw that chain cut. I saw it collapse. And I saw Lance just being able to go anywhere and do anything that he wanted to do. Has your life changed since that? He's doing this. He's shaking his head. Yes. Drastically. I'm wanting to share with you today. There is another dimension of the Word of God and hearing God than I can ever relay to you by just what we've ever heard before. I got one more thing, because all of these have been with a good ending. The one I'm going to share with you now won't sound like it's a good ending, but it was a good ending. Willis's brother, Carol, was sick and in the hospital, and Willis wanted me to go up and pray for him. So we did. We went up there, spent a few minutes with him, talking, fellowshipping with him. We laid hands on him and we prayed. We walked out of the hospital. Willis said, "Lord, say anything to you?" said, well, no, not really. The Lord had showed me something. I came home and I told Judy. I said, I don't understand exactly what I saw. See, Carol is going to get out of the hospital. He had cancer, but I saw him home. But I didn't see him getting better. I didn't understand that. It seemed like to me that if he got out of the hospital, he'd get better. Carol got out of the hospital. He went home. And though I prayed, and though I would pray for Carol regularly, and though I would ask the Lord to show me something different, he never did. Carol went home and died. Went to be with the Lord. Now, that's a happy ending. I know that, you know, that doesn't sound as good as the other ones that I've shared with you, but God does things His way. And we're not looking to get it our way. We want God's will. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that if we pray according to His will, then we have the confidence that He will not only hear our prayers, but give us the petitions that we've asked of Him. So what we want Him to relay to us and to show us is His will. Not our will. His will. It was Carol's time. Carol went home. He really went home. So, Genesis 31. I've relayed these to you, and there's more, but I think these have communicated what I want to share. Over and over and over again, the Lord is beginning to open this up to me. In Genesis 31, what's happening is Jacob is going to share with us exactly what I've just shared with you. In chapter 30 of Genesis, in verse 25, Joseph has been born by Rachel, and Jacob is ready to cut a trail and go back to homeland. And so he says, tells Laban, he says, I'm going now. And Laban says, wait a minute. He says, I know you've worked for me all these years, and since you've been here, because of your presence in my life, God has blessed me. How many knows that you can get blessed because certain people are in your life? Very good principle. He says, since you've been in my life, God has blessed me. He says, and what do I have to give you to keep you to stay here? And Laban says, Jacob says, I don't want you to give me nothing. He says, but here's a deal. He says, I'll go through the flocks. I'll take out all the rake straw, spotted and speckled, or that means speckled and spotted and black sheep and goats, and I'll take them to my flock, and then I'll keep your flock, and when time comes, I'll leave. Laban says, that's great. That's just wonderful. So Jacob goes through the flock. He's got 11 sons at this time. And he goes through the flock and he takes the sheep, the black ones and the striped ones and the spotted ones. Takes them 3 days' journey away from Laban's flock so there can't be any mix-up here. And he sends his boys to watch over them, and he keeps Laban's flock. What he does, and you know the story, I hope you do anyway, he took what they call flesh rods or poplar sticks out of a tree with black bark, evidently, and he striped them and he cut them so that you could see the white meat of the tree inside, and he spotted them and he cut them so that the black and the white would be showing, so that they would be all black or all white anyway. And he put these things in the water troughs as they would mate. He would stick them in front of them as they mated, and he'd make them face these things. As they would feed, he would put these things around. And so he was giving them, the sheep, a vision of this rake straw, striped and speckled stuff. And when they would mate, and when they would have baby sheep and goats, and they would come out rake straw, striped and speckled. And Jacob's flocks grew and Laban's flocks depreciated. About 15 years ago, I was teaching a Sunday school class, and the Lord showed me this. You know how it is that when sometimes you see something, and years later, every time it's mentioned or every time somebody refers to it, how the Lord has showed you something special about it, and it comes up. Well, this has been one of those verses, and over the years, this has just kind of come up over and over and over again. So now what's happening in 31 is Jacob is ready to go. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that our fathers and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. And Jacob saw the attitude of Laban. How many knows you can see an attitude? I think, what does the King James say, face? Jacob saw it. And behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to his flock in the field and said to them, I see your father's attitude, that it is not friendly toward me as formerly, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. If he spoke thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flock brought forth speckled. And if he spoke thus, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock brought forth striped. Thus God has taken away your father's livestock and given them to me. And it came about at the time, Jacob now is telling Rachel and Leah how this all came about. Now, they may have asked him, well, how did you know to do this, Jacob? And it came about at the time when the flocks were mating that I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream. And behold, the male goats which were mating were striped and speckled and molted. Then the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now your ears. Pardon? Lift up now your eyes and do what? Don't just lift them up. Lift them up and see. Lift up now your eyes and see that all the male goats which are mating are striped, speckled, and molted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. This was 20 years before now. How many of you have ever made a vow to God? Oh, Lord, if you'll get me out of this one. Have you? It may be 20 years, but he's coming back one day, and he says, I want what you promised me. I'm the God you made a vow to. Now arise, leave this land, and return to the land of your birth. How many see here that what the angel of God, the voice of God, then God speaking to Jacob, told him to do was lift your eyes up and see this happening. Lift your eyes up, Jacob, and see it. Now, this is very interesting to me, and I want to show you a couple of words in the Hebrew in this story. Jacob had a dream. That word dream there means to bind firmly. What you see, bind it. Hold on to it. Get it. Bind it up firmly. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. And then he says, the word there for our eyes means an eye, but look, it means a fountain. It means out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if you can get this fountain coming up and see what God wants to do and see it, and then hold on to it. You can have what you say. You can have what you see. If it's God. Now, am I talking about Cadillacs and big houses? I don't know. Maybe I am. He sure blessed the socks off of Jacob. I told you a while ago, the widow gave out of her want. It's all right to have nice things. Lift up now your eyes and see. See Denise Dudley healed and home. See Carol Whitener's daddy, Mr. Goff, healed and home. See my son set free. See the buildings that we need built. See it. Fountain. In your belly is a fountain. And if we'll just learn spirit to spirit, deep to deep, witness with witness, if we'll start learning the voice of God wants to take us through life, if we'll learn that if we'll just start spending time with God, He'll learn, He'll teach us how to communicate with Him. And in this passage, it's so clear to me that what Jacob did was he saw it and it happened. Can you hear this? Lift up now your eyes and see. Matthew chapter 13. I'm about to land. I'm about to pray for you. Some of you are sick in your bodies. Some of you have been praying for healings. You've got the Word of God. You're quoting the Word of God. You're standing on the Word of God. There's a part you haven't done. There's a part of this. We've got the Word. We know God wants to heal us. We've got the Word. We know He can heal us. What's the matter? What's missing? Matthew 13, beginning at 13, Jesus has told a whole bunch of parables. Tell you what, back up to 10 with me. Let's run through this. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been granted. For, because, this is how we know this, whoever has, him shall more be given." And I want you to see that he's about to start talking about seeing and hearing. "Whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance." Jacob. "But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while hearing, while seeing..." I hope you got your Bibles open. I hope you're seeing this. "While seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." Now, what's that mean? Jesus was talking to people, and how many of you really believe they had eyes and they had ears, just like these and just like these? Do you believe they did? Do you think they did? They had ears and they had eyes, but yet he says they can see, but they can't see. And they can hear, but they can't hear. And so there's more to what Jesus is saying here than just hearing what's said or seeing what's being happening. There is a deeper or a higher however that you want to say it, there is something more than just seeing and hearing. There's something beyond the senses. Verse 13. "Therefore..." I just read that one, didn't I? 14. "And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says..." Now look at this. "You will keep on hearing, but will never understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will never perceive." What's the two parts there? Hearing and seeing. We've been taught hearing, hearing, hearing. What I want to expand us to today, what I want to try to impart to us today, is to really learn how to bring it up out of the belly and see it. Lift up now your eyes and see what God is saying in your belly. "For the heart of this people has become dull. And with ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eye, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn again, and I should heal them." I want to suggest that a major part of why some of us have not experienced the healing that we need in our bodies is because we hear God wants to heal us, but we've never seen ourselves healed. I fell off that thing back there this week. I'm not going to go through it. I just fell off of it. There's a hole in the sheetrock where I hit my head. I hurt my arm bad. It was swollen up. It was blue and yellow. My fingers, I could hardly move them. It's given me fits all week long. I came in here this morning, and I had a hard time turning it this way. It hurt. So I said, "Lord, if this is what you want done today, I want to pray for people, and this is the hand I put on people. Heal my hand." Folks, it does not hurt. It's not blue, it's not yellow, and it's not swollen. I saw my hand going on people's heads. I saw my hand ministering. Some of you have had problems. You've prayed about them. You've sought God about them. Why hasn't God healed you? I want to suggest to you this morning, you got to see yourself healed. You got to lift up now your eyes. I want to pray for you right now. While the Holy Ghost is ministering to you this word, I don't want any to do. I want you to come. I want you to come down here. I want you to see yourself healed. I want to agree with you. I want you to lift up your eye. I want you to stay here until you get it. I want you to stay here until you see what God wants to show you. You allow Him to bring it up. He will. Do you believe He wants you healed? Do you believe He wants you whole spiritually, solely, and bodily? That's His Word. Jesus says that don't do it unless the same Father do it. God wants you healed. I want you to come now. You need healing in your body. Come on, right now. Right now. You need something. I want you to come down. I want you to lift up your eyes and see. Some of you I know have been fighting with your backs. Long as I've known you. Some 7 years, some 4 years. You got to see that back not hurting. You got to see yourself bending and moving and doing that. Some of you have been fighting with this and that and the other. You got to lift up your eyes. You got to see it. Willis, your wrist needs healing. Come on. Let's get that wrist healed. Just like mine. You see it? Okay. You're just talking about marriages and finances. This is a part. Right now, I'm wanting to concentrate on healing. How many of you have something that's hurting you right now? It's hurting you right now. And you will know if God, if you do what I'm telling you to do, if you lift up your eyes and you see it, and if God touches you, you'll know it by tonight, won't you? You'll know if God did it. Will you tell us? Now, it took this a couple of minutes. It took this. I prayed it while I was up here, and it took by the time I could get back up here before I really noticed that it wasn't hurting anymore. It took us about 2.5 years to get this building built. It took us Carol Whitener's daddy a couple of weeks to get healed. It took Denise 3-4 months. It's going to take a little time. So I don't want you just. It could happen just like this. And we're not going to cut that out, of course. But what we want to do, we want to see it and we want to hold on to it. I want you to bind it. I want you to get a hold of it. I want you to hold on to it. But God, you showed me that I want it to come out of your belly. Amen. Are you with me now? We understand this. No, nobody's got a question. This is just the Word of God, the pure Word of God. You got to hear it. You know God wants to heal you. Now He wants you to see it. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we lift up now our eyes and we see. Father, we shut out the natural and we begin to allow out of our bellies the rivers to come forth and we allow You to show us our bodies healed. That which has hurt us in the past, we see You doing it. We see us doing it. We see You healing us. We see us doing that which has always caused us to have problems. Whatever is hurting these, Betty Cooper and these other ones, that if we see ourselves doing those things that we know that You have touched us. We see it, Lord God, we see it right now. Just as Jacob saw it, Lord, You are no respecter of persons. And Lord, right now, we lift our eyes up and we see it. Now I want to give it quiet. I just want you to be quiet for just a few seconds. And maybe this will help you some. But I want you to allow God to show you. I want you to see yourself healed. Whatever that infirmity is, whatever that it is. Jesus says, I didn't do anything except I saw Him do it. Bless you. Father, we see ourselves healed. We see it. We see it. We see it. We see it, Lord. We see it. Father, we see it. How many seen something? Anybody seen anything? You could lift up your eyes and see something? If you've seen something, just raise your hand so that I'll know that the Lord will. Most, a lot of us, yeah. Keep going. Yes. Yes. And once you see it, once the Lord shows it to you, I want you to bind it. I want you to bind it. I want you to pray it. I want you to release it by Your words. Lord, You showed me. Lord, You showed me. I believe You showed me, Lord, because my heart was right. I believe You showed me. And I'm going to hold on to this now. When you see it, you pray that. Lord, I bind it now. You said whatever I bound was bound. I bind it, Lord. I bind it, Lord. I see it. I'm holding on to it now. Oh, Lord God, minister to us. Minister to us. Release the words. Angels are activated because of our words. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, if you want to look that up. Angels respond because of our words. Say it now. I want you to release it. You don't have to say it so that everybody in here can hear it, but you say it so that the angels will be released. So that this is bound. When you feel like the Lord's ministered to you, be seated. There's something about seeing. I want you all to stay until you get a release. I'm going to try to conclude this message. You all stay till you get a release. I want to read you some scriptures as I close and just show you this. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, don't turn, just listen. And straight away, John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus, and straight away coming up out of the water, he saw heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon Jesus. Now, do you really believe that that was the real heavens that rolled back? Do you really believe that a real dove came down? Or was John seeing something and abiding on Jesus? Did he see it in his spirit? Did he see it like we're talking about it happening? Or was this a literal happening? We know what it was. The heavens rolled back. It said the heavens opened. We know that John lifted up his eyes and he saw.
This was the Messiah. In John 1:33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me is baptized with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. This is a reference to John chapter 1. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that light was among men. The light of Jesus Christ comes forth. Mark 6:48. And he saw them trolling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them about the fourth watch of the night. This is in the middle of the night. There's no way in the world Jesus could have saw them out there in the middle of the sea rowing and toiling. He saw it in prayer. He saw it as the Lord showed it to him. And then he walked to them on the water. Luke 9:27. But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Now, we've got this fallacy teaching about what the kingdom of God is. What I want you to know the kingdom of God is what the Bible says it is in Romans chapter 10, verses 17. And it says that the kingdom of God kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You've got to see yourself living righteously, peacefully, and with joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself said that they questioned him, when's the kingdom of God going to come? And he says, it's not going to come in signs and wonders. It's not going to come like that observation. It's going to come. It's going to come in you. Is that what he said? The kingdom of God is in you. You got to see it. You got to see yourself well. You got to see yourself whole. You got to see yourself living in peace. You got to see yourself prosperous. You got to see yourself paying your bills on time. You got to see your marriage working. You got to see yourself ministering to people. You got to see the kingdom of God manifesting before it's going to happen. I saw myself prophesying before I ever prophesied. I saw myself preaching before I ever preached. Luke 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Jesus said that. Did he really see it, or was that what he saw in his spirit? John 1:48. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus said, answered to him and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael had a big fit about this because Jesus saw him under the fig tree. He says, wow, you surely are the Son of God. And then came this scripture. Jesus says, wow, is that marvel you? He said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending. When I pray on Monday nights now, I pray that prayer, don't I, Monday nighters? That's what I pray. And I see the angels going up with our prayers. I see the angels coming back down with our answers. I see Michael and his angels waging war with the serpent and his angels in the heavenlies. And we've had more prayers answered over the past several weeks as we began to pray like this than we've ever had answered before. John 8:56, and your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham, this is part of the Abrahamic blessing. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see dreams, and your old man is going to dream. Your young man is going to see visions, and your old man is going to dream dreams. But there's something to do with dreams and seeing, and this is a part of the prophetic. This is a part of the New Testament church. Acts 10:3. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him. This is Cornelius. Coming to him and saying, I'm going to bless you, Cornelius, is because your prayers have ascended to me. Because of your giving and because of your faithfulness. And then he sends Peter. He saw this happening. He says, there's a man. His name is Peter. He's at Joppa. He's on the rooftop. He said, I want you to send him. I want you to go get him. Well, in the meantime, he's showing Peter this vision, this sheet coming down with all these things in there. He says, Peter, don't be prejudiced. Is that what he said? What I clean is not, you can't call it unclean. So he's given Peter visions, and he's given us all visions, and he's given us, in Acts 11:5, I was in the city of Joppa. This is Peter now. And I saw in a vision. Paul. Going in the book of Acts, he's going over and this Holy Ghost reframed him from preaching. And finally, he couldn't get a breakthrough. And finally, he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come help us. He saw it. I'm telling you, this will give you breakthrough. This is something I want to make sure that we've communicated, and then we'll dismiss. Matthew 9:29. Two blind men came to Jesus and said, Lord, we want to see. He touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. I want the day to come where we can preach that. According to your faith, be it unto you. Do you see yourself seeing? According to your faith, be it unto you. John chapter 12, verses 28 through about verse 31. This is the final thing, and we're dismissed, and it concludes the entire teaching of the four voices of God that I've relayed to you. Number one, the voice of God that comes in and totally disrupts us. Number two, the depression voice of God, the still small voice. Number three, the witnessing voice, and then this one today, the enlightenment voice of God. As Jesus is ministering, he says in the 12th chapter, he said, the time of my glorification has come. And he says, but should I be sad? He said, no, for this purpose I came. And then God spoke to him from heaven. Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And he said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And some of the people said, it thundered. Some of the people said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, no, it was the voice of God. You just can't hear it. A lot of you want the voice of God to speak to me so that I can speak to you. You make messes and you come to me and you say, what do I do? A lot of you really don't care. It just thunders a lot. So that's what you think I'm up here doing right now, just thundering. You can hear what I'm trying to say to you today. I don't know if I've ever preached a message that I want you to hear. This is the voice of God speaking to you through me. Sounds like Delbert, looks like Delbert. He's got Delbert's suit on. Valentine Rose that his wife gave him today. But this is the word of the Lord. You got to hear it and you got to see it. And God wants to talk to you. And your life will change if you'll spend time with Him. You take what I've showed you and taught you today. You apply it to your marriage, your finances, or whatever. You spend time, you pray through, whatever you want to call it. You stay there until God shows you what's going to happen. The Spirit of God dwells in you. He's going to talk to you. If your belly lives the Spirit of God, you allow that to dwell up. You allow a fountain to come up. When you get it, you hold on to it. It'll come to pass. And I really hope that over the years that God will expand this. I plan on going to Trinidad. I want to take this to Trinidad. I want to share this. I want the people of God to get a new vision about prayer. There's something here. I can't say it all yet. I don't understand it all yet. But I know. I know in my knower. You know, in 1 John, John says, we know that we know Him. There's something inside of you sometimes you just know that you know something. I know that I know this. And I want to share it with you. I want to pray over you now as we dismiss. Father, we dismiss now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that words of life have gone forth. Father, what is not of me, that is of you, let it come into the hearts of the people and let it bring forth fruit. What is not of you, Lord God, we counsel it out right now out of even our memory. And let it come forth, Lord. Let it go out of here and not enter into our hearings. Let the enemy come and remove that. But Lord, what is of you? What is the seed of God that you want planted into our hearts? What you want us to begin to grasp out of this word? Let it get into our hearts. Let it produce, Lord God, in our very being. Let us have premonitions. Let us have visions. Let us have dreams. Let us reach into our belly. Let us bring up the vision and let us bind it and hold on to it. Let us be like Jacob. Let us lift up now our eyes and see. Heal us, Lord. You said you would if we would hear it and if we could see it, you'd heal us. Father, take this that we've ministered. Take it and break it. Multiply it and feed your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.